Practically every analysis of the 2000 census figures shows racial segregation in the United States continues to decline. The latest report issued by the Brookings Institution says the level of segregation among blacks and non-blacks is at its lowest point in nearly four decades. The West is the most integrated region of the country, followed by the South. But segregation remains extreme in many places, especially in the country's largest metropolitan areas, such as Chicago. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports.
One of Chicago's unofficial models is City of Neighborhoods. In practice, it's more like you live in your neighborhood, I'll live in mine. It's true that Chicago's population is very diverse, and several neighborhoods are integrated, but the city has a strong history of racial separation that is not easily overcome. Prejudice, housing barriers, concentrated public housing, and politicians' efforts to keep racial voting blocks intact have all contributed to the city's segregation. But there's another reason as well. Some people just like it that way. In Humboldt Park, a neighborhood on the city's northwest side, Enrique Salgado Jr. heads the Division Street Business and Development Association. He points to the two 59-foot red and blue metal sculptures of the Puerto Rican flag, which arch from one side of the street to the other. They anchor both ends of a business strip Salgado calls Paso Oricua, or Puerto Rico Town.
It's a gateway into the community, it's a gateway into the Puerto Rican culture, and it's a symbolic gesture to the possibilities of Puerto Rican people.
Chicago's Hispanic population grew by more than 200,000 in the 1990s, and the group now comprises more than a quarter of the city's residents. Chicago's Asian population went up as well to almost 125,000. Those sheer numbers caused the de facto desegregation of many Chicago neighborhoods as people moved into predominantly white areas. But segregation and isolation for many Latinos and Asians persist. Some of it, says Salgado, is due to choice.
I think it's important for every community to have at least a space where they can come to, a space where they can feel comfortable in, a space where they can feel at home. When you come into Paso Oricua, you can walk into a store and ask for bread made the way it was in Puerto Rico. You can ask for it in your own language and not feel ashamed that you have a heavy accent asking for that.
The decision by some ethnic groups to stay put in segregated neighborhoods, says Ori Pinnock, is in part a Chicago tradition. Pinnock heads the Leadership Council for Metropolitan Open Communities, a fair housing group organized after marches led by civil rights leader Martin Luther King failed in the 1960s to open up the Chicago area housing market. Pinnock says it's sometimes easier for Latinos to move into white areas than it is for African Americans.
Unfortunately, the natural course of things is to deny African Americans access to predominantly white communities. That's been our traditional history here in Chicago and throughout the region. It has been, I think, by interventions by groups like ours who have sued when people have been denied access wrongly and have educated African Americans and others as to the fact that they can live anywhere in the region and can look for those opportunities that are closest to where they work or offer them the kinds of things that they would be interested in.
Over the past decade, the city has made some progress desegregating neighborhoods, but the separation of whites and blacks has changed little. To understand what Chicago is like today is to also realize its often wrenching history of race. It's a history that began for African Americans in part during the Great Migration, when Southern blacks moved to Chicago during World War I and II. They soon became isolated on the city's south and west sides, and many eventually moved into the world's largest stretch of public housing. Whites would move elsewhere, while thousands of African Americans would become segregated in Stateway Gardens and the massive Robert Taylor homes. Those buildings are still visible today from the Dan Ryan Expressway, the highway that leads straight into Chicago's south side. The area is still considered among the most segregated.
Okay, now, here you got a teacher here, right on this corner. Here you got a former dean of
just a few blocks east of the expressway, real estate agent Dempsey Travis drives by the luxury townhouse development he's built in Chatham, a middle to upper class black neighborhood. Travis has sold real estate for more than 50 years in Chicago's black areas. He agrees that the comfort people feel in their neighborhoods does keep the city segregated. Few Chatham houses, for example, are sold to outsiders. But Dempsey says the role racism plays can't be ignored.
When they were integrating the communities outside, they were recruiting black people. So when I built Chatham Park Place, I said, well, now we have been recruiting black people to go here and there and everywhere. Why can't we get some white people to come in here? But we didn't get one. We didn't get one applicant. Nobody came. I mean, it ain't your class or your school. It's your color.
Whites began leaving Chatham shortly after Travis bought his first building there in 1954. Jim Lewis is the executive director of Roosevelt University's Institute for Metropolitan Affairs. He says that pattern of segregation, integration, and resegregation continues in Chicago-area neighborhoods today.
I think many, many whites are still uncomfortable living in a neighborhood that is approaching being equally African-American and white. But there's also the factor that once that pattern starts, that African-Americans who are looking to live in an integrated neighborhood or are looking for that house in the suburbs go to those neighborhoods where people of their own race, their own background, their own history, their own understanding live.
There have been attempts to create and maintain integrated neighborhoods in Chicago and the surrounding suburban areas. In the city, neighborhoods like Hyde Park, Rogers Park, and Beverly have long been integrated. And in areas not far from Chicago's downtown, new housing that's been built is integrated as well. That's cause for optimism, says Dominic Pasiga. Pasiga is an urban history professor at Columbia College.
Well, I think it is a tiny spot where we're seeing it happen, but we're seeing it in other tiny spots too, like the near north side, the Lincoln Park area, the near west side. That's not to say the segregation rate isn't great, but if you look at places that are traditional racial hotspots, Marquette Park. Marquette was one-third white, one-third black, one-third Hispanic. Marquette Park, where Dr. King was hit with a rock, there's still racism. There's absolutely still prejudice. There's no doubt about it. Happens all the time. But people aren't fleeing from each other the way they once did.
But while integrated neighborhoods seem to be multiplying in Chicago, they are still in the minority here. Many Chicagoans simply prefer to live with their own kind rather than trailblazing into a neighborhood where they may not feel as welcome. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.